A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You're at a bar. The door opens. A man walks in wearing a fluorescent green button-up shirt with two silver reflective stripes across the chest. Your brain says safety vest. Your eyes say aggressive fashion choice. And for a split second, you genuinely can't tell if he's lost on his way to a construction site or if he's about to order a Negroni and talk about his DJ residency.
I've seen that guy.
Daniel sent us down this exact rabbit hole. He discovered that workwear suppliers don't just sell the vest. There's an entire wardrobe. Button-ups, polos, cargo shorts, pants, all high. Viz, all ANSI compliant. All real products you can buy right now. And his question is basically three things. One, what are the most ridiculous items in this category? Two, how could you plausibly wear them in public and claim you just like the color? And three, who's actually buying these for their intended purpose? Because someone has to be.
Someone is. I looked into this and the answer is weirder than you'd think.
So, let's start with the thing that makes all of this possible. A standard you've never heard of that dictates exactly how much of your body has to glow.
ANSI/ISEA 107-2020. The American National Standard for High Visibility Safety Apparel. This is the document. This is the reason you can buy fluorescent cargo shorts and call them safety equipment.
A standard that specifies square inches of fabric, not what the fabric is shaped like.
No, that's exactly right. The standard defines three performance classes. Class 1 is the lowest, for workers separated from traffic and moving at walking speed. Class 2 is for workers near vehicles moving under 25 miles an hour. Class 3 is the highest, workers near vehicles moving over 50 miles an hour or in complex backgrounds where they need to be visible from all sides. And each class has a minimum requirement for two types of material.
Two materials. That's the part I didn't know.
Fluorescent background material and retroreflective tape. They do different jobs. The fluorescent fabric, that screaming lime green or orange, absorbs ultraviolet light and re-emits it in the visible spectrum. It's brightest in daylight, especially in twilight and overcast conditions, because there's more UV relative to visible light. That's why it pops so aggressively against a gray sky. The retroreflective tape is for nighttime. It bounces light directly back toward its source. Headlights hit it, and the driver sees a bright silver stripe exactly where the person is.
So daytime, you're a fluorescent blob. Nighttime, you're a silver outline.
And both have to be present for the garment to be ANSI compliant. Class 2 requires at least 775 square inches of fluorescent background material and 201 square inches of retroreflective tape. Class 3 bumps that to 1,240 square inches of fluorescent and 310 square inches of tape. Plus, specific placement rules. Horizontal bands around the torso, vertical stripes from shoulder to waist like suspenders for Class 3.
Here's where the cargo shorts sneak in. The standard doesn't say vest. It doesn't say jacket. It says square inches of material and where the tape goes. So if you can fit 775 square inches of fluorescent fabric onto a pair of shorts and a shirt, and you can place the retroreflective tape in the right configuration, you have met the standard. The garment type is irrelevant.
That's the loophole. The standard is garment agnostic by design, because different jobs need different clothing. A surveyor in Arizona in August doesn't need the same thing as a flagger in Minnesota in January. So the standard just says, here's how much of your body needs to be covered in these materials. Figure out the rest.
And manufacturers figured out the rest. They figured out button-ups.
With that standard in mind, let's look at what it actually produces. I went down the rabbit hole of workwear catalogs, and the results are something.
Start with the button-up. This is the one Daniel flagged, and it's the one that broke my brain.
Carhartt makes an ANSI Class 2 lime green button front work shirt. It has a collar, it has buttons down the front, it has a chest pocket. It looks like a normal work shirt, the kind of thing you'd wear to a job site if you were a supervisor who needed to look presentable. Except it's fluorescent lime green. And there are two horizontal silver reflective stripes across the chest and around the back, plus vertical stripes from the shoulders down to the waistband.
The collar is what gets me. A safety vest doesn't have a collar. A safety vest is a piece of mesh you throw over whatever you're wearing. A button-up with a collar signals, "I dressed myself intentionally this morning." It has a placket. The buttons are probably plastic, but they're real buttons. This garment is trying to be a shirt.
It's a shirt. It's a shirt that also happens to meet the requirements for working within 25 feet of a highway at night. And that dual identity is what makes it so strange. You look at it, and your brain does this little stutter. It's a normal garment silhouette with an abnormal color and abnormal stripes. The form says clothing. The function says, don't get hit by a truck.
The stripes are sewn on. They're not removable. You can't take them off and have a normal green shirt. The tape is part of the garment structure, which means if you wear this to a bar, you're committing to the stripes. There's no halfway.
And Carhartt isn't the only one. Multiple workwear brands produce these. Port West, Radiance, Kishigo. You can get Class 2 and Class 3 versions. The Class 3 has more tape, including the shoulder-to-waist stripes that look like suspenders made of mirrors. That one's harder to pass off as fashion.
The Class 3 button-up is just a safety vest that learned how to do buttons.
Then there are the polo shirts. High-vis polo shirts are a real product category. Class 2 polos in fluorescent yellow, green, or orange, with a collar and a 2 or 3 button placket, and the reflective tape in horizontal bands. These are the most deniable items in the whole catalog.
A polo shirt is already the default. I'm not trying, but I'm trying. Garment for a certain kind of social event. You wear a polo to a barbecue. You wear a polo to a casual dinner. If the polo happens to be a very bright lime green and it has some silver stripes, you're still wearing a polo. The silhouette is doing all the social work for you.
From a distance, it just looks like a bright golf shirt. The reflective tape reads as a design element. Maybe it's a sporty contrast stripe. Maybe it's a brand thing. Nobody's first thought is that man is OSHA compliant.
Until they get close enough to see the tape is made of tiny glass beads.
Which brings us to the cargo shorts. This is where the category really earns its absurdity.
Multiple manufacturers produce ANSI-compliant shorts. They have cargo pockets. They have belt loops. They have a zipper fly and a button closure. They're legitimate shorts in every way except they're fluorescent, and they have reflective tape sewn around the legs.
The tape placement on shorts is the horizontal band around each thigh. Class 2 shorts will have a band of silver retro-reflective tape circling each leg. And this is where the functional absurdity peaks, because shorts are worn in warm weather. Warm weather means long daylight hours. The retro-reflective tape is for nighttime visibility. But the garment is designed for conditions where you're trying to stay cool in the sun.
So you've got nighttime safety equipment on a daytime heat management garment. The standard doesn't care about context. It just measures coverage. But the result is a pair of shorts that says, I need to be visible at midnight, and I need airflow at noon simultaneously.
And yet they sell. Utility workers in the south, surveyors in summer, airport ground crew in hot climates. These are real customers. If you're required to wear Class 2 high-vis and it's 95 degrees, you can either wear pants and be miserable or wear the shorts and be compliant. The shorts win.
The shorts also win at plausible deniability. Cargo shorts are already a fashion choice that people have opinions about. Adding fluorescence doesn't make them more controversial. It just makes them more visible. From across a parking lot, a guy in fluorescent cargo shorts and a dark t-shirt reads as guy who just got off work and kept the shorts on. It doesn't read as guy making a statement.
There are also high-vis pants, full-length pants with reflective stripes down the legs. High-vis rain jackets that look like normal rain jackets but in screaming yellow. High-vis sweatshirts. High-vis t-shirts. The t-shirt is interesting because it has the lowest deniability of any casual item. A fluorescent t-shirt with reflective tape is unmistakably a work garment. There's no collar, no buttons, no structure to provide social cover.
The collar is the anchor. A collar says, I thought about what I put on today. No collar says, I grabbed the first thing within reach. High-vis t-shirt plus reflective tape reads as, I'm on the clock.
Let's talk about the colors. ANSI allows three, fluorescent yellow-green, fluorescent orange-red, and fluorescent red. In practice, almost everything comes in the yellow-green or the orange. The green is the one everyone thinks of. It's a specific shade that doesn't appear in nature. It's not lime, it's not chartreuse, it's not neon green. It's high-vis green, and it's been tuned to be maximally conspicuous against most backgrounds.
That's the problem for passing it off as fashion. If you tell someone, "I just like the color green," and you're wearing ANSI fluorescent yellow-green, you're claiming a preference for a color that was engineered in a lab to be impossible to ignore. It's like saying you just happen to enjoy the taste of artificial banana flavoring. It's a preference for a specific industrial simulation.
The orange is slightly more deniable. Fluorescent orange-red reads as hunting season, or I support a sports team with orange colors, or I'm making a bold fashion choice. Orange exists in the natural world. Orange exists in fashion. A fluorescent orange polo could be a statement piece from a designer who's really into visibility.
The green can't be anything except safety equipment. That's why the button-up in green is so disorienting. It's the most aggressive possible color on the most normal possible garment. The contrast is doing the work.
The retroreflective tape placement rules add another layer. For Class 2, you need horizontal bands around the torso and over the shoulders. For Class 3, you add the vertical stripes from shoulder to waist and bands around the arms and legs. The more tape, the less deniable the garment. A Class 2 polo with a single chest band is borderline passable. A Class 3 jacket with stripes everywhere looks like you're directing aircraft.
The tape itself is worth a moment. It's not just shiny fabric. It's either glass bead technology or prismatic microstructures. The glass beads are tiny spheres embedded in the tape that act like lenses, focusing incoming light and reflecting it back. The prismatic version uses microscopic corner cube reflectors, same principle as a bicycle reflector. Both bounce light directly back to the source. A car's headlights hit you from 200 yards away, and the driver sees a bright white stripe where you're standing.
And that tape has to meet minimum performance standards for brightness and wash durability. ANSI requires the tape to maintain its reflectivity after repeated washing. So these garments aren't just fashion experiments. They're engineered to keep working after 50 industrial laundry cycles.
Which means if you buy the button-up and wear it socially, you're wearing something designed to survive being washed with heavy-duty detergent at high temperatures 50 times and still reflect headlights. That's not a shirt. That's equipment.
So we've established that these products exist and they're weird. But the obvious question is, who's actually buying these things and why?
Not fashion-forward hipsters, unfortunately. That would be a better story.
The primary market is workers in environments where OSHA requires high-vis, but the job involves some level of professional presentation. Surveyors are the classic example. A surveyor spends the day near roads and construction sites. They need Class 2 or 3. But they also interact with property owners, contractors, government officials. They knock on doors. They attend pre-construction meetings. Throwing a mesh vest over a t-shirt works for the safety requirement, but it doesn't project competence.
The button-up solves that. It says, "I'm a professional who understands land boundaries," while also saying, "Please don't run me over with a backhoe."
Utility workers are another big market. Meter readers, line inspectors, crew supervisors. These are people who need to be visible near traffic, but also need to look official when they're on someone's property. A utility company can issue a high-vis polo with the company logo, and the worker looks like an employee rather than a random person in a vest.
Airport ground crew, construction supervisors, event staff at outdoor venues, anyone whose job sits at the intersection of need to be seen and need to be taken seriously.
The cargo shorts exist for a simpler reason, heat. If you work outdoors in the southern United States in July and your employer requires ANSI Class 2, you have a choice between compliant pants and compliant shorts. The shorts win every time. The fact that the retroreflective tape is functionally unnecessary during daylight hours doesn't matter. The standard doesn't distinguish between day and night shifts. If your job requires high Vs, it requires high Vs.
There's a knock-on effect here that I think is the real story. Workers who wear these garments for their job start wearing them off the clock, not as a fashion statement, as a convenience. You've already got the shirt on. You stop at the hardware store on the way home. You grab groceries. You pick up your kid from practice. You're just a person in a bright green shirt going about your day.
And that's how Hy-Vee enters the civilian wardrobe, not through runway shows or streetwear brands, but through thousands of workers who finish their shift and don't bother changing before they run errands. The fluorescent button-up becomes a normal thing to see at Home Depot on a Tuesday afternoon.
Which brings us to the plausible deniability strategy. If you actually wanted to wear these socially, how do you do it?
Step 1. Pick Class 2, not Class 3. Less tape, fewer stripes, more fabric that's just fluorescent. The Class 2 polo or button-up has enough reflective material to be compliant, but not so much that it screams safety equipment from every angle.
Step 2. The rest of the outfit has to be aggressively normal. Dark jeans, work boots or clean sneakers, nothing else that reads as industrial. The goal is to make the high-vis garment the single anomaly in an otherwise unremarkable outfit. One weird choice reads as personal style. Head-to-toe high-vis reads as, I'm on a road crew.
Step 3. Own it completely. If someone asks, the answer is, I like the color, not, it's actually antsy compliant or funny story. Just, I like the color. Said with a straight face, the confidence is what makes it work.
The polo in orange is the strongest play. Orange exists in fashion. A bright orange polo with some silver stripes could be from a designer collection. Pair it with chinos and loafers, and you're making a choice that reads as bold but not unhinged.
The button-up in green is the advanced difficulty setting. You're wearing the most safety-coated color on the most normal garment. If you pull it off, you're a genius. If you don't, you look like you got separated from your work crew and wandered into a dinner party.
The cargo shorts are actually the easiest. Nobody looks at cargo shorts closely enough to notice the reflective tape. They just see guy in cargo shorts and move on. The fluorescents might register as bright shorts, but not as safety equipment. Cargo shorts have such strong casual dad energy that they overpower any other signal.
The deeper question here, and I think this is what Daniel's really poking at, is what it means that a safety standard accidentally created a visual language that can be co-opted as fashion. ANSI 107 was written by engineers and safety professionals. They were thinking about square inches and candela ratings and wash durability. They weren't thinking about whether the resulting garments would look cool at a bar.
But standards create aesthetics. The fluorescent fabric plus silver stripes is now a recognizable visual language. It means caution and worker present, and don't hit this person. Those meanings are strong enough that wearing the garments in a social context creates a kind of semantic dissonance. Your outfit is saying caution, but you're ordering a beer.
And that dissonance is interesting to people. It's why Hy-Vis has shown up in fashion collections, designers borrowing the visual language of safety to make clothes that signal something about visibility, about being seen, about labor and class. The Carhartt button-up is the real thing. The designer knockoff is just appropriating the look.
The most ridiculous items are actually the most practical for their intended use. That's the twist. The Hy-Vis button-up isn't a novelty. It's a genuine solution to a genuine problem. Some workers need to look professional and be visible. The shirt exists because the need exists. The absurdity comes from the mismatch between the garment's form and its function, not from the product being pointless.
A safety vest is obviously safety equipment. A safety button-up is a category violation. It's a shirt that's also protective gear. It belongs in two categories that don't normally overlap, and that's what makes it feel wrong even though it's perfectly logical.
And the cargo shorts are the same thing. They're shorts that are also safety equipment. The fact that they're worn in daylight when the reflective tape isn't doing much work is a quirk of the standard, not a flaw in the product. The shorts are solving the problem of, I need to be ANSI compliant, and I don't want heatstroke.
The standard will probably evolve. The next revision of ANSI 107 might address garment form factors more specifically. Maybe they'll require full-length pants for certain classes. Maybe they'll specify that shorts can only meet class 1. If that happens, the current catalog of high-vis button-ups and cargo shorts becomes a historical curiosity. A brief window where the standard was loose enough to accidentally create a weird fashion subcategory.
I'd be sad to see them go. There's something delightful about a world where you can buy fluorescent cargo shorts that are both OSHA compliant and, with enough confidence, barbecue appropriate.
So the plausible deniability is real. But what does this mean going forward?
Wait, Hilbert, you've been quiet. You worked a summer for a utility company in Texas, didn't you?
Meter reading. 1997. They issued us ANSI Class 2 polos in fluorescent orange.
polos, not vests.
Polos. The company wanted us to look professional when we knocked on doors. Nobody opens the door for a guy in a safety vest. They open the door for a guy in a polo shirt with a company logo. Even if the polo is the color of a traffic cone.
And you kept it.
I still have it. Wore it to a barbecue last month. It was hot. It was the only clean shirt I had.
Did anyone say anything?
Someone asked if I was working security. I said no, I just liked the color. That was the end of it.
You've been wearing a fluorescent orange polo with reflective stripes to social events for years, and nobody has called you on it.
The stripes are starting to peel, after all the washing. I thought about cutting them off, but then it wouldn't be compliant anymore.
Compliant for what? You're not a meter reader anymore.
I know. Doesn't feel right to take them off.
The polo has the utility company logo on it. You're wearing a corporate uniform to barbecues.
Small logo. Embroidered on the chest, nobody reads it. They see the orange and the stripes and they figure I'm making some kind of statement. Or they don't think about it at all.
That's the thesis. Right there. A shirt with a company logo and reflective tape, worn to a social event, and people assume it's a fashion choice. If that passes, anything passes.
The logo helps, honestly. Makes it look intentional, like I'm representing something. People respect a shirt with a logo.
What was the company?
TXU Electric. Before the merger. The logo's outdated now. Makes it vintage.
So you're wearing a vintage, ANSI-compliant, corporate-issued safety polo to barbecues. And the only question you've ever gotten is whether you're working security.
One time a guy asked if I was the lifeguard. That's the closest anyone came to figuring it out.
The lifeguard. Because orange plus reflective stripes equals pool safety, apparently.
I told him the pool was closed. He believed me.
The peeling tape, does it still reflect?
Mostly. The edges are curling up. Another 10 washes and I'll have to make a decision.
The decision being whether to keep a non-compliant safety garment for sentimental reasons.
It's a good shirt. Comfortable. Breathes well. They don't make them the same anymore. The new ones have a different fabric blend. This one's 60-40 cotton poly. The new ones are all poly.
You know the fabric blend of your 29-year-old work polo.
It's on the tag.
So the open question is, as Hy-Vees becomes more common in civilian life, cyclists, runners, festival goers, does the ANC visual language get fully absorbed into fashion, or does it always read as safety first?
I think it depends on the color. The orange has a chance. It's close enough to fashion orange that it can blend in. The green is permanently coded as industrial. You can't uncouple it from construction sites and highway crews. It's too specific, too engineered, too tied to its function.
But that's also what makes it interesting to wear. The green button-up at a dinner party isn't just a shirt. It's a conversation piece. It's a provocation. It's saying, I know what this is, and I wore it anyway.
The next revision of the standard might close the loophole. If ANSI starts specifying garment types instead of just material coverage, the button-up and the cargo shorts disappear from the market. They become vintage items. Collectibles.
Hilbert's polo becomes worth something.
It's not for sale.
Of course not. It's still compliant.
Momo egos.
The most ridiculous thing about Hy-Vis fashion is that it's not ridiculous at all. It's a standard doing exactly what it was designed to do, keeping workers visible and alive, and producing garments that happen to look like something you could wear to a bar. The absurdity is in our perception, not the products.
The cutting room floor detail I found. The retroreflective tape on ANSI garments has to maintain at least 330 candelas per lux per square meter after being washed 50 times. That's the minimum brightness. If your Hy-Vis button-up has been through the laundry every week for a year, and it's still blinding, that's by design.
330 candelas per lux per square meter is a very specific number to have in your head.
It's a very specific requirement for a shirt someone might wear to a barbecue.
The future question I keep coming back to is whether we'll see a deliberate fashion brand adopt the ANSI standard as a design constraint. Not just barring the look, actually certifying their garments as Class 2 or Class 3, a fashion house that submits their collection to an OSHA-recognized testing lab. That's the end point of this whole trajectory.
A runway show where every garment is legally required to keep you visible at 200 yards.
The safety data sheets would be part of the lookbook.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping us on the air and for proving that a 29-year-old work polo can boss at a barbecue.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you've got a fluorescent garment in your closet and you're not sure whether it's fashion or safety equipment, send us a photo. Show at myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon. Wear whatever you want.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.